Why are you laughing? Boudreaux was driving through Oklahoma, and this farmer that built boats had just finished one and had it sitting on this little thing in the middle of his pasture out there, and he was sitting there and he was just practicing, you know, how, you know, when you're rowing. Boudreaux saw that, and Boudreaux said, "How stupid is that? This guy's out there on dry land trying to paddle the boat." He yells, he said, "Hey, if you don't cut it out, I'm going to swim out there and knock you out." Anyway, that's it? Mike, I told you they weren't going to laugh at that joke. Anyway, look, after service, we're going to have like a brief meeting, so if y'all just hang around, we got money to give everybody. So y'all just hang around, and we're going to personally give everybody some money, all right? Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews. That's what you say, Miss Betty? Hebrews? Okay, the guy that makes coffee, huh? Okay. You know, when you talk about the gospel of the grace of God, it's going to go with most people one way or the other, right? All the way to the right extreme, all the way to the left, just totally. However you want to look at it. You know, if you tell people that you're saved by the cross, the finished work on the cross, then that's license. So you got to put in a little work. You got to put in something to make it, you know, make it appealing to everybody, right? You got this group and you got that. You got Pharisees and you got the Sadducees. You got the Herodians and you got all kind of sects. So what you believe, it's going to show me, where you go is going to tell me what you believe. How's that? If you believe it's by works, you're probably going to go to Catholic Church. You're going to go to Pentecostal. You're going to go to those places who teach that. Well, the writer of Hebrews had that in mind, and people miss this in Hebrews chapter 6. They always equate that to loss of salvation. Well, if you do this and you do that, that means you're lost, and God forbid you get lost, because if you get lost, that's it. You get one shot at it. Why do I say that? Because the Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So if there's no forgiveness, there's no righteousness, there's no justification, there's no nothing. And Christ ain't coming back to die again. So if you die, if you lose your salvation, it's lost. That's it. You're hellbound. So that means everybody's going to hell, right? Well, the writer of Hebrews addresses that. He's talking to these Christians who's having a little problem with doctrine. They're having a little problem with this and a little problem with that and a little problem with this. Well, the writer writes in Hebrews chapter 6 and starting in verse 8. He said, "But that which bears thorn and briars is rejected and there nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Most people look at that and say, you see, going to be burned. Well, if you look at the text, what the writer is simply saying, talking about what the ground produces, right? And it talks about thorn, talks about briars. But he goes on in verse 9, he says this, "But beloved, we are persuaded of some better things of you, things that accompany salvation. Though thus speak, we speak." Here's the problem. People equate things that accompany salvation as salvation. It's two different things. You can't combine the two. The writer has said things that accompany salvation. And it goes on to say in verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." That's works, right? Your labor of love which you have shown to his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, and desire that every one of you do show, not every one of you, not one of you, but every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance, to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now, what does the word hope mean? It's rock solid. Because the writer comes back a little bit later and talks about the hope, the rock, the anchor, steadfast. So this hope here is salvation. The writer here is saying this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is on God. God's going to do this. But in the meanwhile, show forth those things that accompany salvation, which is what? Good works or a faith work. Not a flesh work, but a faith works. With that said, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's see how Paul lays it out. And God knows, I mean, if you want to find out what the Christian life shouldn't be, read 1 Corinthians. And then towards the end of the book, find out what it should be and why. Just to give a little heads up, in the book of 1 Corinthians, to break it down, verses 1 through 4, Paul addresses what? Division. In other words, I'm for this guy, I like that guy. 5 through 7 is sexual problems. 8 through 10 is what? Idol. Food offered to idols and all the craziness. 11 through 14 is the gathering of the body. When you come together, you know, everybody's got a prophecy, everybody's got a tongue. So Paul said this is the problem in the church of Corinth. Now these are believers. He ain't talking about lost people. And then when you get to 15, he tell you what the solution is for all these problems, right? The gospel. So in chapter 1, look in verse 8. Paul lays out your salvation. He says in verse 8, this is the good news and the bad news. Who shall confirm you till the end? So Catholic Church, I guess if it's God is to confirm, I don't think you have to be confirmed by some man, right? That you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beg you, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all, talking to the church now, speak the same thing, and that there is no division among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now here's the problem. For it's been cleared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, one of you say, I am of Paul. See the division? I'm of Paul. Others say, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. And I of Christ. And Paul asked the question. Now watch how Paul only addresses himself. He don't talk about Cephas and Apollos. Paul said this. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, Paul, why don't you call the other guys? Paul said, I'm just talking about me. I'm not the high strong. I'm somebody that God gave this message to, and I'm giving it to you. This is about Christ. It's about Christ. It's about the life that Christ has given you. And he didn't just give us his life for us to sit in the stands and cheer on the team that's on the field. He said, no, I'm giving you my life. Look, in John chapter 16, don't turn there. Christ said, I'm going away, right? But I'm going to pray to the Father that he send you another comforter, right? My work is done here on earth. but there's still a lot left to do. So I want to use you. So I'm going to infuse you with my life, and I'm going to use your hands, I'm going to use your eyes, I'm going to use your lips, I'm going to use... In other words, you're going to be my spokesman. You're going to live the life that I lived here. As the Father sent me, so send I you, right? So now I want to use you. And here's how it's going to work. It's simple. I didn't say easy. It's simple. Because here's the problem, gang. He's given us this ministry in the earthly body. Everything that we possess of Christ is housed in this filthy flesh. So it's going to be a constant war. Christ says, no, do two. The flesh said, do one. Christ said, go left. The flesh said, goes right. It's a constant war. Let's realize that. Let's recognize that. Once we realize that and recognize that, at least we understand what the problem is, right? But Paul said, who's Apollos? Who is Cephas? We're just ministers whom through y'all believed. If we just did our job. In other words, we just got out the way and let Christ do his job. And nobody had more practice at this than Paul. Paul said, I've tried it from the other way. I've tried to do good works on my own. And y'all saw what that led to. I sent a whole bunch of Christians home kind of early. Because what I thought was the work of God through me, it was the work of religion through the flesh. So Paul is saying, man, let's focus. Let's keep things in focus here. Fast forward to Ephesians chapter 2. Same writer. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul beats home the fact that this salvation is a gift from God. And there's a big question mark. Now what? Now what I do? Do I just sit, as Greg used to say, sing Bombaya and wait for the rapture? Or do I get involved? Do I get into the race? And if I'm going to get into the race, you have to be used by him. Because I can tell you what happens when I decide to do it. It don't look too good. Just don't look too good. It just doesn't. It's just, it's a mess. In Ephesians chapter 2, look in verse 8. Paul makes it clear. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in the Christ Jesus Christ unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that being in time past Gentiles, Paul gives us a little before and after, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is the circumcision in the flesh made with hands, and at that time you were, what, without Christ? In other words, you had no covenants. You were just out there in aliens. Jews had the covenant. He said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ, by the gospel. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace. Sorry, Richard Jordan, there goes the two gospels. It ain't but one. And that is the death, burial, and resurrection. But he did that so that he might be able to use us here on earth. Next week, I want y'all to tell me how many people y'all saw Jesus Christ witnessing to on Canal Street. Y'all think y'all might see that? No, you're not going to see it. He's not coming back to witness to nobody. But he can do it through you and through me. That's our purpose. That is our purpose. We are the light that sits on the hill. And we're to show forth his coming until he comes back. He said, don't put it under the table. Don't put it where people can see it. J. Vernon McGee says, put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Put them on the top shelf, only a giraffe can eat. But he wants to use us. He wants to use us. He wants to do the work in and through us. I mean, Paul makes it so simple. Fast forward to Titus. Here Paul said, let us maintain good works, which is to say, let us practice good works. It's not legalistic to practice good works, because that's what I'm called to do. It's legalistic to think I can do something to earn salvation, or think I can do something to impress God. But I always impress him if I just get out of the way and allow him to do it in and through me. Not because I'm trying to earn something, it's because he's already given me something. He's given me his life. So much so, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall return and come back, we shall be just like him. So let's be just like him before he comes back. How's that? Paul said, I've not yet obtained, but I'm pressing for the high calling. Paul said, I'm trying to get there. I know I still got problems. But man, I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to do as much as I can to bring somebody on the same trip that I'm on. And that is headed to heaven based on what he's done. You want to use me? Have at it. Because if I allow you to use me, then I don't have to worry about the consequences, right? Because if I do what you've told me to do, then the consequences is on you. In other words, I can't save nobody. What I can do is share the good news. And you said that you'd bring the increase. And I just want to do that. I just want to share the good news. But I said, Titus chapter 3. See if y'all was listening. Titus chapter 3. Paul takes us back here. Paul said, let me give you a reminder of where we were and let you see where we are. And I experienced this week. I was pumping gas. And this little young guy was on the other side of the pump. And this young lady passed. And boy, his head almost came off his body. Now that old me would have done the same thing. But the new me in the wrong way would have said, look at him. He's lusting after that woman. But this came to me. You were sometimes, Paul said, this is where you used to be. And I instantly engaged him. I said, go get him. He said, oh, no, I got enough problem, man. You know, women, you know, man, women are just a mess. I said, yeah, you know, I said, the truth is, I said, I always just tell my wife, all women are crazy and all men are stupid. So he looked at me, he says, really? I said, well, if we go back and look at it from the very first woman and the very first man, to make a long story short, I gave him the gospel. And I asked him, I said, before I gave him the gospel, I said, well, how's your life with God or with Christ? He said, oh, I'm getting much better. He said, I walk my dog every day and I sit on the steps of St. Calidas or whatever, one Catholic church, you know. I said, yeah, that really will make you better. I said, let me give you a scoop. And I gave him the unadulterated gospel, plain and simple. He said, really? And I gave him my phone number. I said, if you got any problem, just call me. But had I not remember where I came from, you know, the Pharisees said, oh, I'm glad I'm not like him. Right? Man, I'm so glad I'm not. Man, I would never do that. Really. You'd never do that. And what that makes you? If you don't know Christ, it don't make you nothing. You ain't got a lot of good people that's going to die and go to hell. But anyway, Paul says in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, for we ourselves were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust. That sound familiar? Anybody? Y'all don't remember that, huh? Paul said, serving. Serving. It came to my mind. I took care of it. Because that's what the flesh do. That's what's built in. And by nature, you're dead. Said, living in malice, envy, hateful. Boy, was that, that made me think about Washington, D.C. Hateful, hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior appeared toward man, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he, past tense, saved us. By the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, I got power now to look and say, that used to be. Romans chapter 12, I'm not going to be put back under that bondage I used to be under, but I'm just going to simply renew my mind. Okay, Lord, this is not the new me. You made me brand new. I'm a new man. I want to think new. I'm going to walk in newness of life. Paul said this was the oldness of life. This is the newness of life. In verse 6 it says, which was shed abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now watch what he goes on to say. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain or to practice good works. Might be careful to maintain and to practice. He just gave you what your salvation is. That's a gift. But here's what should accompany that salvation. You believed, he says, look, let's practice the good works. And that's what the word maintain is. Practice, stand in, or stand before good works. Not trying to work to get anything. God did that on the cross through Christ. All I'm doing is making that person that lived next door to me see that I'm a believer. That's all I'm trying to do. Hey, look, Lord, here's what you say. Here's what I'm going to do. And then the consequences is on you. Philippians chapter 2. And it holds up other verses. I just picked a few. That talks about the work of a believer. Not the work to become anything, but the work because you are. God has made you. Why wouldn't you want to participate in what God has made you? Righteous, justified, sanctified, propitiated. All the things that you need to get to heaven, I've already done that, so I want you to start to look like that. That's all he's saying. That's what the works of a Christian is. I want to start to look like the righteousness that God has made me. That's what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter said, you got this? Okay, add to this and keep adding and keep adding and keep adding. He said, Peter, for what? So that you can participate in this divine accomplishment for you. You try to make yourself righteous. I do this because I am. I do brain surgery because I'm a brain surgeon. But I can't be a garbage collector and go do it, and that's all you are if you're not saved. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul says this, "Wherefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." Don't work out mine. Can't tell you, let me tell you what you got to do. No, work out your own salvation. Is that work out mine? My wife used to tell me that. You work out yours and work out mine. With fear and trembling. For it's God that works in you to do. He gives you the will and he gives you to do. Look at it. To do of his good pleasure. Why would he save us and set us apart and then go back to heaven and say, "Y'all got it now. Handle it. Figure it out. If I am your life, why wouldn't I want to show you how to live it?" And he is our life. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul said, look, man, work out, because he's going to work in. And Paul said, here's some of that look. He said, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Boy, do you know some Christians? I dare y'all call my name. Because I find myself putting this together really ouched me a whole bunch of times. You know, ouch. All things without murmuring. Wait, Paul. What you mean? You need to do a word study on that? No. Do all things without what? Like being thrown in jail and beaten? 39, that's what you're talking about, Paul? Being content in whatever state, that's what you're talking about? Paul said, look at me, I did it. Verse 15. He said, that you may be blameless and harmless as the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as the lights in the world. Boy, that's a hard work, isn't it? Well, let me tell you something. That's an impossible work. But God can do it. God has empowered you and me to do it with his life. No, I can't do it if I let the flesh get in the way, and that happens way too often. I don't know about you, but it does for me way too often. That's why I love Greg Durrell so much. He would say, boy, if y'all knew what I was thinking. God knows. You really know what I'm thinking? Yes, he did. He knows exactly what you're thinking. Verse 16. Hold forth the word of life. The word of what? The word of life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ. In other words, Paul said, I can't wait for him to come back. The blessed hope, Paul calls it. Because you know what? He's going to find me in a state of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I can do nothing through myself except mess it up. And Paul said that I not run in vain, neither have worked in vain or labored in vain. Paul will constantly work. And I say it all the time, I've never been so busy when I learned how to rest. When I learn how to rest in Christ, I find myself availing myself to him a lot more than when I thought I had to help him out. And he hadn't gotten there yet, as Paul says. Boy, but I'm a lot further along than I was some years ago. Fast forward to Philippians chapter 4. And this sounds like an oxymoronic statement from Paul. But when you think about it, it's not. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul writes this. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the same book, Paul says, God supplies all my needs, right? But Paul, you said, you know, you said here you suffer needs. Well, how will he supply all your needs? And now you say you suffer needs. All Paul is saying, I expected it Friday, but he gave it to me Tuesday. So I know that the need was going to be fixed, but it was in his timing. But it didn't stop Paul from working. Paul was the hardest working man in show business. Because he knew what he deserved and he understood what God has given him. And that is how grace teaches us to relax and allow God. It was God working in Paul. Colossians chapter 1. Paul makes no bones about it. Paul said, you want to know how I got it done? It was getting out of God's way. And God did it. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 25. Everybody there? Paul says this, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even a mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now it's made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known, that is, the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, that is complete. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his work, which works in me. Who's doing the work in Paul? Who wants to do the work in us? You know, it's like God said, hey, here's what I want you to do. It's simply what I want you to do. And you either say yay or nay. You say, God, you do it, I got it. And if you got it, it's a mess. Hebrews chapter 13. God said, I'm not going to tell you to do something that I'm not willing to do. Relax, move over. Give me the wheel. And that's the problem. I let you drive halfway and then I drive the rest of the way. That's when the wreck happens. Hebrews chapter 13, look in verse 20. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, that sounds like the resurrection of the gospel, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Maybe that's the problem. If we allow him to do it, we have to give him the glory. Think that's the problem? I can't take no glory. Man wants to be bucked up, as my granddaughter used to say. That's kind of like the problem in Washington, D.C., isn't it? Everybody wants to be the man. There's the man, and they got a whole bunch of little followers. If you ain't got on a blue shirt, you're a loser. If you ain't got on a red shirt, you're a loser. And I say y'all all losers. That is the politicians, because y'all don't have a clue. You're full of hatred. You're full of lies. You're full of deceit. You say, which one? Well, if y'all know one that's not, I can name a few that I thought was not, that I got very tight with, very close with, until it fell off the rail. As a matter of fact, I saw one not long ago in Starbucks. I waved at it. And my David Vedder, he was my guy. Still like him. But I found out that he got a whole bunch of flaws just like me, just like you, you know. But anyhow, 2 Timothy, as we rush through. God's not going to give us anything to do that he ain't willing to do in and through us, because you know we can't. And that's called good works. I like to call it a faith works. As James said, how does James say it? Faith without works is dead. Show me thy faith by thy works, and I show you. Well, I think this is what James is kind of on or something. Where'd I say go, 2 Timothy? Well, y'all listening now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. One way that we get off the rail so quick and do the works of the flesh is when we get away from the scripture. And that's what's happening here. Paul writes this: shun profane and vain babblings, for they increase unto more ungodliness. He said, the word that eat is thus a cancer, I call it, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. That is the worst dead works a man can do, when you take the word of God and misuse it or mishandle it, because you overthrow the faith of some. You want people's faith in you or your program or what you say it is and not what God say it is. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God is sure and steadfast. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let every one that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. For in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. Some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good works. If you're sincere, God knows you're sincere, I guarantee you, ain't nothing he can't do and endure you. Especially based on the word. And I quoted James when James said, you know, I can show you my faith by my works. And the illustration he used is Abraham bringing his son to be slaughtered on the altar, right? You think that was a demonstration of faith? Okay, here he is. You kill him. The only way you're going to bless the nations through him, you got to resurrect him. So here, you got him. Want him to do it? Just say so. It was an example of faith. It was a faith work. You know, people look at the book of James. I had somebody ask me the other night, said, well, James, no, that's not. Look, when James talked about a work in faith, Abraham was already justified. Abraham got justified in 12. This comes in Genesis, what, 22. So he's talking about Abraham showed his belief system by what he was about to do, right? So God says, give me your hands, give me your eyes. Let me use them. Let me use them. First of all, get on one accord. Know the purpose of the body. Know what God wants to do in and through us. Know that he sent back the Comforter, which is one just like him, the Spirit that lives on the inside of you, that's going to do the work. See how simple this is. Can't earn salvation. Salvation is a gift. God said, now let's show proof of life. Proof of life is simply life working in us, right? And life working through us. By the time you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we don't have time to go there. He talks about the assembly itself, right? You got noses, you got eyes, you got toes, you got hands, you got fingers. All this is one body. So hands do what catch what I tell you to catch. Eyes look at what I tell you to look at. Feet go where I tell you to go. That's the way this works. And if you do that, he said there will never be any schism, a division, a separation in the body, right? If we all do the work that he called us to do, we'll come out okay on the other side. What does it say in the book of Isaiah? Who shall we send? How many of us say, I will go, and I will do exactly what it is you want me to do? Because if I do anything opposite, it's never going to work. Never, never going to work. Man, if I just listen to God when they said, don't use that American Express. Oh, I got time. You say, oh, Lord, look at the mess that I've got myself into because you didn't listen to me. Well, the Christian life is the same way. If you listen to me and you allow me to do what it is I want to do in and through you, everything's going to be fine. And I say that, well, since I said that, I can say this. We're in the process here at Heritage, looking for a pastor. So I implore everybody here, let's all get on board. You know, if anybody got an input, this is one body. One body. You're going to have three or four people. You might have me, Dylan, Mr. Ken, Craig, whoever decides to sit in to interview somebody, to vet somebody. But this is the same body that y'all belong to. If you see something, say something. You can call me down anytime and say, here's what I like y'all to do. Or I'd like to sit in one time. But let's do it as a body, collectively. I don't need Miss Betty saying, well, I wouldn't do it like that. And I'm saying, well, I'm going to do it like that because this is not my body. This is God's body. How can a hand be the whole body? How can an eye be the whole body? That can't happen. You're going to have problems. You know, and this process is slow because you don't have a whole bunch of people who see the Bible as we do. Nobody's going to rush to judgment. And I guarantee you, I will never judge what you think. You can judge what I think. I don't have a problem with it. But I'm never going to judge what you think. I mean, what you think is what you think. You want to put something on paper and give it to me? I don't have a problem with it. I can look at it and say, okay, we'll do that. We'll try that. But, you know, there ain't another Greg Durrell out there. You ain't going to find that. We just trying to get the best person that that God can send us. And as my grandkids say, sometimes that take a minute. And I don't have a problem with it. Now, if it's okay with you to have somebody come up here and get you all to speaking in tongues, that's fine. We can do that. Anybody vote for that? Nobody want to speak in tongues? Miss Betty, you practicing. I heard you. Craig's very good, man. He was chirping like a bird one day. I heard him. But no, in all seriousness, this is the body. One body. One body. And the hand can never tell the eye, I don't need you. Never. Never. And I bet you Terry can attest to this. Working at Shell for 30 years, if my eyes would have told my nose that it don't need me, I'd have been dead by now. If you go in the wrong area and can't smell something, you are gone. So I needed my nose, and I needed my eyes, and I needed the hands. They all play a function, but it's the part of one body. So let's all get it done. Every one of us. Everybody here got a piece of action, because we're part of one body. And I know y'all expecting somebody to stand here and sound like Greg, but that ain't gonna happen. But at least we can get somebody who looks into the Word like Greg did. So with that being said, I thought Mr. Ken would come up. Anybody got any suggestions? I'm all ears. I take the ears to the body and listen. You take the mouth to the body and speak. How's that? And we'll make a note. Craig's going to take notes. Thank you. I might let you keep your job at the door.